Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Crosswalk Talk Radio. I'm Carlotta Waldman, the president and founder of CrosswalkLife.com, of NowFaith.tv, Ministry Training School Online, and a couple of other outreaches. And we just want to welcome you to join us for our live call-in program here at Crosswalk Talk. Our purpose is to give you a place to know what's going on, how God's intervening today, to know how to interact with God in a live, intimate relationship, and to be able to have that intimacy that would allow you to fulfill your destiny in Christ. In our ministry training school, we want to teach, train, and equip you to be all that God's called you to be, and there are many, like over 200 free healing articles at crosswalklife.com. Tonight we're going to be responding to one of the most common questions that people have in ministry, and that's that they want prayer for the healing that they have received, actually the hurts that they have received at the hands of ministers or in church. But tonight we're going to particularly talk about when it's the minister themselves that has disappointed them or hurt them in some way. It may be direct, it may be indirect. I want to encourage you right off the bat to write down a couple of books that will really help you. We're not going to be about taking offense tonight, taking up your offense, or helping you to be more judgmental or angry or unforgiving toward that person. And if you haven't read the book, The Bait of Satan by John Bevere, please get it. It's an easy read, and you can always tell when a minister has not read this book. It's like one of the absolutely most required books that a minister has got to read, because they just don't understand that one of the most common things the devil will do is set you up to be hurt and wounded and to take offense. He wants you to get into sinful behavior and sinful reactions yourself so that he can build a stronghold in your life. He doesn't want you to just discern what that minister did that hurt you. He wants you to react to it sinfully so that he can build a stronghold in your life. Other books that have been really helpful to me are Biblical Healing and Deliverance by Chester and Betsy Kilstra. This is a book that I ask all our Restoration Prayer Ministry receivers to read. And another book is Healing and Deliverance by the Sanfords, and they have a new series where they took transformation of the inner man, divided it into four parts. The first one is transforming the inner man. All of these have insights that have been helpful to put this teaching together, and also Restoring the Fallen is a book that I got a lot of information from. But tonight, instead of talking about restoring the fallen, I want to minister more to you that have been hurt because other people fell or let you down or weren't there for you in some way. Maybe you observed how they treated someone else, and that was very hurtful to you. Maybe you feared that they would treat you that way. Well, we've all been through it, I think, almost everybody has been affected somehow by mistakes that leaders have made, and I certainly have made mistakes. I was the woman at the well for years, so I can relate to this teaching on both sides, as some of you can. I'm hoping that you'll call a friend and invite them to listen, even if you have to pretend that they're listening for someone else's sake, because everybody has been offended by those in leadership and authority at some point. It seems like it's just part of life, but God uses those situations to teach us and train us, not only to heal us, but to establish a life message in our own life. Amen. You're going to need pencil and paper tonight, because this isn't just going to be kind of an empathetic prayer for you. This is going to be meaty as well. I know you're surprised. But I want you to really come out of this with better understanding how God wants to work in your life and theirs. If you'll pray protection prayers for this program tonight, I really appreciate it. The warfare has been intense today. It was this afternoon before I knew what the subject was and before I could get my computer to access Blog Talk Radio. So I appreciate it if you will pray, and we'll just ask you, Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth will be directly what the Father wants to say. We know we can't heal each other with words, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to do the healing tonight. There's no way I can even say all that I know to say on this subject or pray all that I know to pray, but we know that you can do a supernatural work quickly. We depend on you, Lord, just to do the work. We can be available, but we know you are the healer. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're the one that forgives us and forgives them. You're the one that enables us to lay our judgmental attitudes on the altar or to give you our disappointment with you, God, and ask you to take that, or to forgive ourselves for falling for it or being affected by it or even being a part of the problem. And we choose to ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our own sin in any way, whether we were 10% guilty, half guilty, or 90% guilty, that you would forgive us for our part in it, and that we'll be able to, even tonight, even during this program, get the freedom that we need. And if not, Lord, that we'll at least know who we can call, whether you lead them to call me or someone that they know and trust, that they'll know who to call to get more healing. And we thank you, Lord, that you have a plan. You're always about redemption, restoring our hearts, renewing our minds, healing our bodies. And we thank you, Lord, that you died to provide it, and we can count on that. Amen. Amen. Well, I think almost everybody's with us now that's going to be joining us, and I'd like to begin talking about how God wants to restore us who have been affected when somebody else fell or disappointed us. Maybe they weren't there for us, maybe they're the ones that falsely accused us or believed lies about us or never understood, or maybe they actually ministered to the one that failed us but didn't minister to us. I think this happens so much in the church that when that happened to me, and I realize the person that sinned against me is getting ministry, but I'm not. I realize the importance of having teams in the church that know how to minister not only to the perpetrator or to the one that fell or sinned. And that would be ideal if most churches had that, amen. But they would know how to minister to the families of that person, the people that were hurt by their sinful choices. Oh, man, that would be ideal if we had teams in the church that knew how to do both. And that's why we like to train teams for churches, because we've learned from experience how important these things are. But I'm going to move quickly now. I think we're all here. We're going to review several things that you know, and then we're going in deep. You may already know that the Bible is all for restitution. You know, if you steal something from somebody, you're supposed to not only give that back, but like 20% more, or sometimes 4 times more, or 7 times more. We see that in Luke 19, where Zacchaeus understood the law right away when he came face to face with Jesus. And he realized his sin of ripping people off through the tax programs. He volunteered to pay them back, I think it was like 4 times over. He knew what the law was. He saw his sin, and he was ready to volunteer to make it up to them. And, oh, your heart might just cry out right now saying, if only the person that fell or sinned against me or hurt other people, and I'm aware of it and how it hurt me to see them not taken care of, shepherded properly. If only they had any sense at all to admit their sin, to understand how badly they hurt us, and if they had any sense at all that they should make it up to us more than just 1 time over, that would be awesome, God. But what I want to check right off is any desire in you to be punitive, to become the judge of all the earth, to want to punish them yourself, to want revenge or retaliation. See, that's where the devil is tempting you. He wants you to be hurt, to take offense, and to usurp God's place as judge. And if anybody's going to do any punishing or take revenge, that's God's job. Amen. So we want to check that right off. When I take callers later, I want to remember to set a couple of rules in place. We will not mention any names of those that let us down that we need to forgive, because we're not here to expose people. We're not here to get back at them. We're here to get healing. And also, I'm not going to allow you to tell your story. If you want to do that, we need to make an appointment on the side. And I understand the importance of that, but not on the air for the whole planet to hear. You can ask for prayer because you're still dealing with resentment or finding it difficulty to forgive, or you've got hurts that never seem to heal. Maybe you're left with running sores. You're still bleeding. You can ask for prayer for you, but do not use this as an opportunity to strike at the other person, or you have stooped to their level. Now, what I want to describe, first of all, are some things that will help validate some of the feelings that you may have had when someone let you down. Say a leader has fallen, whether they fell into sin themselves or they fell in your eyes because of the way they handled things or other people. Maybe they have betrayed you, listened to gossip or believed lies about you. You know, maybe they have really lowered a standard. Maybe they have allowed sin to go on and turn the other cheek. There are so many scenarios, I can't begin to cover it all. But I want you to know I care. I've been there, probably on both sides of the fence. First of all, I think the thing that we want to see when somebody really disappoints us and gets into a sinful reaction or behavior somehow is we want them to have true repentance instead of just remorse. A good example of that in the Bible is Saul. Saul, once his toes were nailed to the floor by Prophet Samuel, didn't fall on his face in repentance. What he said was, "Well, I'm going to have to go before the people now. Will you go with me?" In other words, Prophet Samuel, will you go with me and help me save face? He was concerned about losing popularity with the people. He wasn't really brokenhearted. He wasn't truly in agreement with God about his sin. Whereas David also did not volunteer to repent. Prophet Nathan had to go to him, nail his toes to the floor, said, "Thou art the man." But David did come to a place of true repentance. He cried out to the Lord about his consequences, because Nathan had said, you know, you'll have these four consequences parallel to your four sins. If you want to know what those are, you'll want to read about that in 2 Samuel 12 later on. But David did repent, and God called him a man after his own heart. So we need to be, first of all, aware, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If he is telling us that that person did truly repent, and it's us that's just still mad and hurt, and we need healing. Sometimes they are in a process of repentance. But we're going to talk more about tonight when there's no apparent evidence that they are, and how that hurts and seems to make things worse. Okay? Now I'm going to also talk about how we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit what he wants from us, and we can pray that they will have a full surrender and true repentance to the Holy Spirit both. Sometimes we're partially guilty. There are things that we could have done or should have done or should have not done. And so a lot of times there's not a black and white to this. Maybe there was a divorce and one party cheated on the other. but the other party may have had shortcomings too. Maybe there was compromise in business, and one party knew about it but didn't do anything and let the other person just go on with it until they were caught. And, you know, see how there can be mixtures. So I'm going to be ministering to both people, hopefully, tonight, and I know the Holy Spirit will be. What we don't want to be going for tonight is retribution, revenge, or retaliation. We don't want to want revenge, to get even, to demand payback, to demand that that person be punished. See, when Jesus died on the cross for us, it wasn't to demand that we are going to be punished. It was to take our punishment for us. And he wants us to be ministers of his grace. But before I get off the topic, let's get right back to it. What about it when we have running sores and hurts and we're bleeding, and it seems like nothing has been done for us? We haven't gotten very far with our healing. Restitution on that person's part, you can say, would have helped me. It would have helped to heal my wounds, to restore my ability to trust people, to have relationships with leaders, to believe that they really love me and have my best interest at heart. It would have helped me to forgive. I wouldn't feel like such a victim still. I don't want to feel like a victim, you might be saying. I don't want this to still be on my mind. I want to be free from it. I don't want to still wonder if somehow I'm seen as part of this or be misunderstood or falsely accused. Some of you have been lied about, misunderstood, misrepresented by leaders, and you're wondering if they still see you that way or if other people do. If there's any hope for going back to church or going back to that ministry with the full grace that you had before all this misunderstanding or whatever happened. What God wants is to help the offender agree with him about the sin, that it is sin, call it sin, to come back into agreement with God about it, to see the damage that it's caused. That's God's heart. He understands that. He wants them to be able to feel the pain and damage that they cause when they choose to get their own needs met with sin, when they ignore the needs of the sheep, or when they use someone or abuse someone or treated them like they're just a problem. Or we can see that you're too complicated, you know, we don't want you on the ministry team. And instead of them being your healer, they wound up causing wounds. God wants to restore relationships. He wants to restore trust. He wants to restore your ability to love people and to receive their love. And he wants to enable you to completely forgive. And I want to talk about that first so we can get that clear. Then we can move on, okay? I want you to write down these five things. Many of you would protest loudly, I have already forgiven. I'm going to go to the bathroom right now or get a Coke. No, listen to this. Until you learn how to ask forgiveness five ways, especially on a big issue like this, I mean ask forgiveness for yourself, you're not going to experience the healing and the pain relief that you want. Here they are. In a big hurt like this, you need to ask God to forgive you for falling for the Satan's temptation to have a judgmental, condemning attitude toward that person. We're not saying they're innocent. We're not saying they're off the hook with God. We're not saying God won't hold them accountable. We're saying that we aren't to usurp God's place as the judge on the bench. And when we become real judgmental and condemning, we're not representing his heart anymore. We have fallen for Satan's trap to take offense. Okay, so first of all, we ask forgiveness for becoming judgmental and condemning. Then we have to ask forgiveness usually for not forgiving them sooner, not letting go of the resentment and the wrath, the desire for revenge or retaliation, the fantasies about exposing them, and what would happen if everybody knew and all that. We need to ask forgiveness, third of all, for being disappointed with God. Where were you when I needed you? Why do you let these things happen? I've served you all this time and you let them treat me like this. And we need to start to trust God. Say, God, help me to trust you through this. We need to ask forgiveness for our part in it, whether it was 2%, 10%, 90%, whatever. Maybe we could have communicated more. You might say, that's my only sin then. I could have communicated more or sooner. I could have told them how I was hurting or asked for a meeting. But if you had any part where the Holy Spirit is convicting you now, it wouldn't have gone down as bad or hurt as much if you had just been receiving the courage from me to communicate more or whatever. And then the big one, you need to, number five, ask yourself to forgive you. Forgive yourself. All five of these, you're asking forgiveness for you, but forgiving yourself can be the hardest. Okay, when you've done those, you're more ready to say, Lord, help me forgive them. You can find on Now Faith TV, and I think it's in year one, semester one of the school ministry, an outline for learning how to pray for your offender. It's called Gethsemane Prayers, and there's a whole teaching on it. Basically, you ask Jesus to pray through you because you can't do it yourself. You say, Jesus, help me to know how to pray about my own feelings. And then Jesus, pray through me to you about their feelings. I don't have a clue where they are on this. And help me to see them as you see them. And fourthly, you know, God, help me to understand what you're praying for me, what you wish you could do in my heart. And then fourthly, help me to know what you're praying for them, what you want to do in their heart. That's a lot. I don't expect you to get that in 60 seconds, and that's in year one, semester one, Gethsemane Prayers. Now, we're going to talk about how it would help you if you could get together with that person, with a counseling team, with other leadership, with somebody that knows how to intercede, a third party, how it might help you, and you've got to discern if this is for you. Because one thing our hearts really cry out for is, I want that person to understand how they hurt me. I want them to understand how it hurt me just watching how they treated other people. Or I want them to understand how much I needed them and they were focusing on the perpetrator maybe and not me at all. Okay, things like that. We want in that meeting to communicate how much damage has been caused in our lives, but not in a punitive, punishing way, but we just want a chance to say, I'm hurting. And if you can begin your sentences with I instead of you, dirty dog, you know, how dare you call yourself a minister and treat people this way? If you can start it with I'm hurting, and I need you to know that. I need you to understand that I'm still hurting. And it's not because I hate you or haven't forgiven you. I have forgiven you. I'm just still hurting. And there's something in me that needs you to know that. That I need restoration to be able to love again, to trust again, to believe in relationships. And I want you to know. That meeting might help you also to discern if that person has been trying to take their sinful fleshly structures or habits or patterns to God and has been working with the Holy Spirit to change, or has been going to counseling. Now, they may or may not tell you. If they're the leadership, they're not, you know, definitely bound to tell you. You can't demand it of them. But the Holy Spirit might show you that he has been faithful to work in their lives and that actually they have been making progress and you just haven't known it. On the other hand, it could go the other way. You could find that person is still cheating or is still unfaithful or is still lying, still covering up, still blaming other people, still selfish, whatever it is. You've got to be prepared to turn it over to God. But it might help the Holy Spirit, if you're willing to meet with them, to be able to communicate to their heart what it has cost you or other members of the ministry or congregation or the family or the business, what it has cost you when they have not communicated to you that they are repentant or that they want to understand how they've hurt you or that they are changing something. At any rate, it's just an option you can ask the Holy Spirit about if it would help to ask them for a meeting. Now, I did this. I felt horribly misunderstood. I felt like there was a time when the leadership believed lies about me. So what the Lord led me to do when I wanted to have a continued relationship that was just as awesome as it has been before, I made monthly appointments to meet with the leadership. And I got a little bit more satisfaction out of each one. I think our understanding with each other grew, and they could see the truth for themselves. And I think that helped. There are many levels that this can operate on, I realize. You might be here just because someone borrowed something from you and didn't return it, or basically stole material goods from you, and that hurt. And others of you say, well, that happened to me and they returned it, or they returned it broken, or they returned it with an extra gift. You know, there's different levels of where each of you might be on this, and I just can't describe them all. But I want you to know that I've experienced a whole lot. I was the woman at the well for 20 years, so I've experienced a whole lot on both sides of the fence. And whether the damage was physical, whether it was material, emotional, whether you would call it mental cruelty or neglect, or they just left you out of the whole process as if your feelings didn't even occur to them, there is an innate desire that God has built into us, I believe, to want restitution or at least restoration or at least closure, even if we never come to agreement. Some people write emails. I discourage that strongly. You may never get a response. If you do, you may misunderstand it because you can't hear their tone and their heart in an email. I strongly encourage you, if you're going to open this case back up, to do it in person. Wait for God's timing. If they won't meet you with you now, pray and wait for God's timing. I did a poll once with my weekly email that I send out. It was amazing how many responses I got because, you know, I don't get response for most people to the emails. And it asked, if a leader has fallen into serious sin, how should the people in the church respond? And should they be held accountable? Should it be swept under the rug so that the church's reputation won't be tarnished? Should they be confronted in private, or should they actually have to step down and to give up ministering to other people when they're the ones that need ministry? And should they have to step down for a period of time or until significant restitution has been done to rebuild relationships with church? So I didn't make it that long. I made it like 5 or 6 choices. And I was amazed. The majority agreed that leaders should submit to an accountability team if that's available. And you might say, in your dreams, you know, nothing like that happened at our church. The leadership was able to just do things quietly. It was never even known what they had done, and it was never brought to light with any clarity, much less them be accountable to a team, much less them stepping down, much less them stepping down to get counseling, much less them making restitution to the congregation, much less any of us feel like they had a hard understanding of how disappointed and disillusioned we were. However, if you see the vision that I saw, see, God let me go through some serious hurt so that I would get a vision, I believe. I would get a vision of the possibilities of having a accountability team in a church, people that know how to confront, people that have gifts of wise counsel. And I got that vision of how important that could be so that they could minister not only to the one that fails, disappoints, or hurts others, but the people that are hurt by those actions or maybe had some part in it that needs to be counseled also. And they could bring hope to the people that are broken and disillusioned because they would know something is being done, that there is ministry being offered to that person that needs it, because they obviously have fleshly or sinful patterns, or they need to be held accountable, or they need to understand how to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, or they need to understand how they hurt people. And then this team could also guide and direct shattered families and whole congregations and minister to everyone involved on some level and encourage real honesty. A lot of us grew up thinking honesty will get you in trouble. You can't always be honest with leaders. You can't always be honest with authorities. And we're kind of scared of that. And we don't think that honesty is always the best policy. But God can work through an accountability team. And I believe you see this in the Bible. You know, you see Apostle Paul or Peter or Barnabas, Titus, different ones going to churches and dealing with issues. They did do it in letters with follow-up. I think the pattern was usually that they went in person and also sent letters with follow-up. But holding people accountable, and if they never saw change, then there was ultimately, after meeting with them, taking someone else and meeting with them, bringing them before the church if necessary, ultimately there was a possibility of throwing them out of the church until they would quit their gross sin. But this is not really what we're going for tonight. What we're going for is the courage to be honest with that person. And you might say, I just can't do it. It hurts too bad. Why get involved? Why let myself hurt again? Well, I have tried it. Some people responded to emails, some didn't. I have met with people in person that felt much better. But it was helpful to me to be honest, and I didn't try to go, you know, to the original depth of the wound, didn't try to crucify anybody, but to say, I want relationship. I don't want you believing lies about me. I want to, you know, make things right, tell the truth, whatever is needed. And I want the respect that I had before you decided, you know, or before you believed or before you heard or before you whatever. But we've got to go in humility when we're talking about talking to leaders. This is one of the biggest things. We've got to be respectful of them. This will go a long way. Let them know that we're about restoring relationships and we're about seeing what it will take. And they might say that there's something that I need to do. You know, from their point of view, they might say, well, months and years went by and you never said anything, so we didn't know. And there have been cases where God has told me not to throw gas on the fire, just leave it alone. But if it is still bothering you tonight, if you're still hurting, if you're still bleeding, you've got running sores over this, if you can't think about that ministry or church or business or whatever without thinking about this hurt, then you still need healing. There's, you know, everybody has these temptations to think, well, if they've done something as bad as all that, just cast the sinner out, you know. Turn them over to Satan. And not take any responsibility to restore them. You know, who am I anyway? But I'm just saying, ask God if you should communicate with them or with the leadership, other leadership or something, to get communication going. Because if we just ignore the sin, pretending it never happened, we become part of the problem. We don't want to be judgmental, but if everybody just ignores that this huge hurt happened and nobody comes forward and says, I was really hurt by this, and I'm not trying to hold unforgiveness or resentment, but I need healing, then that helps. Somebody needs to do that. What we want from that person is true repentance. Now, some people, they'll cry buckets of tears, and the elders or the deacons will let them off. Even if they abused a child, if they cry buckets of tears, they'll say, well, we hear your promise that you'll never do it again. And they'll let them go right back into the home. And the wife and the other children are horrified, feel completely unsupported by the church and the elders and deacons. They're just horrified. How could you let that person come back in without requiring them to get counseling, seeing how they do over a period of time, just giving them limited visitation with supervision? I mean, just doing things that make sense. But many times our hurt is that it seems like the leadership just kind of stood together to kind of hide this thing, to hide the embarrassment, and we're not sure that the people that were hurt are in a safe place at all. So here we are. We're considering whether we should just ignore it, pretend it never happened, whether we should just chide ourselves and say forgive and forget and not ask for them to be accountable to anyone. Now, we can't usurp authority over them. We can't demand it. But there are cases where we could ask if they're going to be held accountable to anyone, or at least ask them, you know, what can we expect here? Because we need healing. We need to know this isn't going to happen again. So I want to encourage you to have a heart examination before you meet with someone, if you're going to. And even if you're meeting with a counselor and that person's not there, look in your own heart for these things. Are you having this meeting because you really want to be honest about how it hurt you and maybe regarding some part you had in it? And are you willing to examine your own heart, first of all? Are you willing to be humble and realize that the Bible says to entreat a leader, not to, you know, be disrespectful even though they have seriously failed? Are you willing to be respectful and go by God's spiritual principles where you meet with them one-on-one first, take someone with you if that didn't do any good, and then talk about going before the church? And is your heart motivation for restoration? I know it's tough when you're hurting. Believe me, I know. I know what it's like to dream about it, to have fantasies that it never happened, to hope that they would reach out to you and you'd find out that they're godly now and that they're going to be there for you. But wanting restoration and restitution is good, to rebuild the trust in the relationship, to hope that they'll want to restore. All that is good. What we're not doing is wanting revenge, retaliation, just to expose them, just to stoop to their level, really, of mishandling a situation. So I'm encouraging you, if God gives you a witness, to initiate some communication with them. Say, you know, this is still bothering me. I'm still hurting. I'd like you to pray for me. Maybe God would work through that. I don't mean be manipulative. But another thing you can do is to pray scripture for all parties involved. and that will help purify your heart, keep you out of trouble, keeping you from taking offense. And you can pray scripture, loosing them from the things that aren't God and binding them to the things that are godly. You can ask God if a monthly meeting with them would help, especially if you were directly involved somehow, directly hurt. If it's appropriate to ask for consultation with other people or other counsel. And if you're in a position to do this, if there is a way to hold them accountable, it might be in your own marriage or in your own family. And you do have a way of holding them accountable and discussing, calling sin, sin, and holding them accountable to keep counseling appointments and to have limited visitation or whatever until they're a safe person to be around. But again, not for the motivation of punishing them, but restoring. That's tough, but that's why Jesus died for us, to restore us, not to punish us. And so who would you want to meet with? Well, maybe God will lead you to a counseling team or accountability team, or maybe your church would set one up. 4 to 6 members would be great, so it's not just one or two people, because if you're going to be ministering to a whole family, say abuse, a child was abused, say the one spouse has been cheating and the whole family's just wrecked, then if you can get a team of 4 to 6 members, they can be on a rotation because nobody can be available all the time. Maybe some are better at ministering to the one that fell, and some are better at ministering to the ones that were hurt by that. So it helps to have more than one or two people. And, of course, they need to be emotionally and spiritually mature themselves, and they need to be compassionate, empathetic, but not what we call sympathetic. The last thing we want is them sympathizing with the abusive person. We want them to empathize and understand how bad they feel that they got caught or how embarrassed they are. But a person that can confront, can call sin sin and hold them accountable to the truth. We want to have people that are strongly committed to God's truth and spiritual laws, that they won't bend on that to say, well, everybody's into pornography, I understand. You know, that they will be there for this person representing God's truth and able to confront the hard issues. We want people that are willing to commit the time and the finances and the energy that it takes, because a lot of times when someone has seriously fallen, they need to be accountable to someone for a year or two. This isn't a month or two situation that some of you have dealt with. And another thing that you might not think about is they need to be willing to endure guilt by association. What that means is, and I've experienced this a lot, when I work with people that need serious deliverance and have very destructive, sinful habits, then if people would see me bringing them to church a lot or meeting with them in public, because I don't want to do it in private, you know, in a restaurant or something, they might start saying birds of a feather flock together and think I have the same addiction they've got. We've had that concern before. I remember taking someone to church once. Instead of hiding in the back so no one would see us, we went right up front, you know. And I was so blessed, because I was praying, Lord, help people to know that I'm not just like this person I brought. You know, they're not like my best friend and we do what they do. And the guest speaker that night was just so awesome. He not only discerned, but he ministered to several people so he wouldn't just highlight my guest. Then he asked my guest if they really wanted to be free and if they wanted ministry, and if so, to step out in the aisle, and they did because they were desperate for freedom. Then he asked the whole church to pray for them out loud. Everybody started speaking in tongues and praying for them. When they started to slow down after 2 or 3 minutes, he said, come on, church, come on, kept them praying. And my guest received all kinds of freedom that night. Now, some of you might think, that's worse than them singing happy birthday at the restaurant. But he was desperate for freedom. And he was glad that everybody took out like 5 minutes to pray for him alone. There's all kinds of ways that God can work, and that just blessed me so much and helped us to be able to minister to them too. Because what God wants are some of the same things that you want. He wants to replace those self-effort or sinful or fleshly patterns with spiritual ways. He wants to root out their secret practices. He wants to work within the local church community to rebuild relationships and to deal with the family hurt or, you know, what the repercussions have been. And he wants to teach people that it's important to be submissive to authority and accountable. And he wants to take away the pain. And he wants to help people know how to deal with the consequences of their sin. And he wants to help people forgive each other so they can be healed. And so instead of just burning your bridges and taking off, or maybe you already have, it would be good to ask God, is there anything that you want me to do now to communicate how severe my hurt has been, to meet with that person again, to get counseling for it? Is there anything God wants you to do? Because if you just go into denial, and actually this right here I'm going to say to those of you who were the one that fell and those of you that were hurt by the one that fell, okay? If you just go into denial, the devil will probably have a playground with that. If you just avoid the whole situation, the devil can work in the darkness, you know, where there's no light coming into it. And you'll probably be the one that's fatigued and depressed eventually. Maybe your own growth setback because of your confusion and not having dealt with it. And God forbid, but you may go into an anger that includes bitterness and loneliness because people can tell you're bitter and you never got over it. You may start going into a rejection cycle or die of guilt or hatred. I mean, there's so many things that God can address if we're willing to go to someone and say, I need prayer for healing. Even if the other person's never dealt with, I need prayer for healing. So if we'll be honest about what we need, like I said, don't start your sentences with they did this, they did that, in an effort to expose them or punish them. But if you'll go and say, Lord, I need prayer for healing, or to your counselor, or but don't go horizontally like gossip. That God's going to hold you accountable for that. But if you'll be honest with the person that he leads you to be your counsel, and say, I need prayer for healing, or I need prayer because I am still tempted to resent or to judge, God can work with that. He wants you to feel secure and safe and to be able to have relationships with authorities or leaders again. He wants you to be able to be stable and committed and to not be hiding and missing opportunities out of fear. And he wants you to get the support you need so that you can stand strong. And maybe if you should have been more outspoken and gone to that person and said, I'm hurting. I need to know why you're doing this to our family or to our church or to our business, or, you know, are you embezzling? Or are you cheating? You will know better how to hear the Holy Spirit next time, so don't beat yourself up. But God wants all of us to grow, and I believe when he allows these things to happen, he gives us free will, and he allows us to hurt each other, that he has a plan for each one of us to redeem every experience we've had, to take the pain out of it, and to leave us with a wisdom and a life message that is deeper than it could ever, ever be if we hadn't gone through some things. I know God hurt when you hurt. I understand that. But he also wants to bring you to a place where you not only know how to receive his perfect love and forgiveness and healing, you know how to pray for others that are falling and stumbling and pray Gethsemane prayers for them. he might be preparing you to be one of those people that can be on an accountability team in the future and that will know how important it is not only to minister to the person that fell, but to the person that we're close enough by to be hurt by that. And I'd like to just demonstrate a prayer right now that you can also pray. And some of it will apply more to the person that fell and hurt you or cheated or was unfaithful or lied or believed lies or whatever. But some of it might apply also to those of you that were hurt because the devil was able to snare you into taking offense or holding resentment or harboring judgments in your heart. Whatever the Holy Spirit quickens to you, allow him to work in your life right now, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I stand devastated before you. I'm undone, not only by the damage, but also by the grief. This sin has resulted in broken trust, in shattered relationships, in pain and sorrow on levels I didn't know before. It's caused hurt. Other people have been hurt. And the cost of this sin is something that's weighed heavily on my heart. That the one that fell needs to know the cost of their sin. The one that's hurt needs to know the cost of sin. I never want to see people injured like this again because of my sin or anyone else's. Guard me from this, Lord, and guard me from judging them and becoming like it myself. Keep me dependent on you, Lord, and letting your life and love flow through me, that I won't be trying to get my needs met my own selfish way and fall into sin. Forgive me for my cruel reactions and judgments of them and my cruel actions myself and words that have hurt other people. Wash me clean in the blood of Christ. Forgive me for falling into sin, having sinful reactions, sinful behaviors, and letting the devil form strongholds in me. Transform me into the image of Jesus through this, Lord. Jesus died and rose again to take our pain and our sorrow and our guilt and our shame, and we choose to let you have it, Jesus, tonight. Lord, help me to bless the person that sinned against me and help the persons that I have sinned against to want to bless me and not see me as their enemy. Pour the oil of comfort into all of our wounds. Don't let anger or bitterness take over our lives. Create a fresh understanding of the presence of your Holy Spirit in the midst. Rub the oil of your healing into our wounds. Help us all to receive the forgiveness that you died to provide and the healing for us all. Lord, as I repent of my part in it, I trust you also to heal the losses that I have suffered, the friends that I lost that were confused by the whole situation at the very least, church relationships, family, business relationships that were damaged. I just bring all that to you, Lord. It's more than I can handle. I come to you to trade my pride in for humility, to trade in my shame, to trade in my depression, the fatigue, the confusion that it cost for your redemption and restoration. Lord, I even lost the definition of myself for a while there, my identity in you. I wasn't sure who I would be without these relationships or if I'd be able to trust to have more. But Lord, even though I still grieve over these losses, I want to bring that grief to you. Complete my forgiveness if there's anything lacking. And most of all, I want the relationships to be rebuilt, even with either with them or with new people, because I want to be in your chain of authority and properly aligned with your chosen leaders, and to have that covering and to have that security rather than fear. So, Lord, I choose to ask you to transform me from the inside out. So, although I have fully met your requirements regarding these situations, and that you will be free to bring healing to me and to others, whether you do bring them to a place of doing restitution or whether I have to confess something, that we can all be healed. Cause my eyes to see you and my leaders through your eyes. And give me back any rewards or blessings that I have lost. I want you to be able to do through me what you want to do, Lord, and to redeem this whole thing and make me better, not bitter, to make me the minister that you want me to be, that you can work through me to counsel people that have fallen. I want to walk in your gifting, to fulfill your calling, to be a person that can be trusted with your wisdom, with words of knowledge, prophetic words, to speak vision into people's lives that will pop them out of the devil's deceptions, his shortcuts, his promises to fulfill them when it's all lies. And Lord, turn this grief into something good for all of us. Let the memories of this experience empower me, Lord, to discover your plans to restore people, to redeem situations, and to build trust. And that our relationships, if possible, would be stronger than ever before. By your resurrection power, Lord, resurrect us all, that we can walk worthy as children of light, that will bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to let that sink in. To know that God is working on each side. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's working on each side. He's faithful. He knows what he's doing. He has not forgotten you. And he has a plan. We just need to tune into that plan and to know what our part is. Your part might just be to contact us or someone else for counseling, you know. Your part might be to study the Gethsemane prayers on Crosswalk Life and learn how to truly pray for your enemies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've called in and you'd like Restoration Prayer Ministry tonight, if you'd like personal prophetic prayer ministry, I'd like you to push number one. Gosh, the anointing is so heavy on this. I'm like losing my own spot. I think I just accidentally closed the chat room. Let me see. Nope, there you are. Okay. I had a technical difficulty today, and I'm having to use a different browser. And I don't know if I can fix this so that I can see. That's my problem. See the chat room and the callers at the same time. So chat room, you're on your own. I'm hoping somebody anointed there will moderate. Don't want anybody, you know, tempting others to sin and take up offense during this. But if you would like ministry tonight, I'd like you to push number one, especially if you're a first-time caller. About 30 minutes would be a good time for repeat callers to push number one. Right now, no one has pushed number one, and so I have no one to minister to. You can also call a friend and ask them to call 917 888-488-4683, and they can receive personal prophetic ministry tonight or prayer. You might want prayer for something we've talked about tonight or personal prophetic ministry. Let me take a swig of juice. I want to say a big thank you for all of you that have taken the time to pray for this meeting tonight. The warfare today was something else. It was just something else. I know God wanted this program, and I know the devil didn't. And I believe this is going to be one that has a tremendous number of downloads because people want clarity on their situation. Now that all this has happened, what's next? You know, what am I supposed to do? I'm hurting. What do I do? Okay. If you would like personal prophetic ministry tonight and you've never called in before, please put number one so that I'll know that you're on the line. And I'm going to call out your area code number. I'm going to ask you for your name, and you can tell me what city or state you're from. And if you'd like to request prayer, please just make it a sentence. I do not want anyone to share their story tonight. Now, if you want to do that, you need to make an appointment. But you can ask for prayer, like I'm still having trouble with hurt from a previous pastor. Don't say any names. I just cannot have that happening on the air. We're not here to expose and hurt people. Or you can say, I still need healing from a, you know, hurt in a marriage or something general. And yes, some people might know what that's about, but they know you need healing anyway. And we're going to pray for you. Will everyone agree with me that we're going to pray for these people? We're not going to judge them because we're probably all on the program because we've been there. Who hasn't been hurt by somebody in authority or leadership? You know, amen. Okay. Area code 210. Welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Trevor.
Hi, Trevor.
Texas.
Okay.
And I just really need to let something go. I was treated unfairly by the leaders at my former church because of my disability. And
okay. Yeah, I was getting the word misunderstanding already. Not
yeah,
understanding you.
I'm sorry?
That they weren't understanding you.
Yeah, and I even took it as far as to threaten a lawsuit, but kind of lost my nerve for reasons I'd rather not share.
Yeah. Well, I've been there, even a lawsuit just over a car accident. It took 3 years of my time. Not so much the money, but 3 years of my time, and I got very little for it. And I know why the Bible says try to settle it out of court, because it will drain you and do very little good. God's ways are much better. Well, Father, I thank you for Trevor. I thank you for his courage to call in and be the first one. And I thank you that you are actually bringing healing to what has been called disability. And, Lord, that the enemy has wanted to opportunize on that and kick Trevor while he was down and increase misunderstanding and to bring confusion even to who he is. But I thank you, Lord, that you have gifted Trevor, that he has strong abilities, some strengths that you really want to work through, minister through, that you are pulling these good things together, and that the pain that he has endured because of these experiences, that you are there to take the pain out as he gives it to you. And the Lord says, I'm giving you the courage tonight, Trevor, to give me that pain on a deeper level. Just give me that pain on a deeper and deeper level. I want to go in even to the back areas of your heart where you don't really want to go and to take that pain out. And the Lord says, I'm giving you new strength, new sensitivity, new discernment to what's going on around you. a keen discernment that will discern things rightly. And where you have feared being, you've doubted some of your perceptions in the past, and you've feared, you know, not being able to discern things rightly, the Lord says, I want to make that weakness a strength. And the enemy has wanted to come in to make sure that you never have confidence in some areas. But the Lord says, as you give those to me, even in the midst of this horrific situation, as you continue to give those things to me, I will make these weak places strong. But the Lord says, I'm increasing your dependence on me. And I'm giving you new ability to be that careful surgeon, like a laser surgeon that's so careful to target only the things that really aren't God when you pray. To not misunderstand like you were misunderstood. To be that skillful one that can build things up and not just tear things down. The Lord says, I want to give you the tools to be able to pray loosing and binding prayers with understanding that few people have, and to be able to tear down strongholds rather than the person. And you will, as you study these areas with me and let me tutor you in it, I'm going to actually give you outlines of information where you will understand the difference between coming against the stronghold and coming against the person, and how a skillful warrior knows who their enemy is and doesn't damage the people with friendly fire. But you know who the enemy is and how you'll be able to come against the enemy, and to know that I'm even praying for the perpetrators. I want them redeemed too. And so in the long haul, you will look back and you will see, because of these experiences, you became the skillful surgeon and the skillful warrior that I'm calling you to be. No pat answers from you. You will understand the gravity of situations, but it won't be out of a place of hurt or offense. It'll be a place of wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you'll note what time it is and go back after this program is available for download and to write out every word and war with it and keep claiming it and claiming it and declaring it until it all manifests in your life. And don't let it leave any of it up to chance, you know. Write it all out. Make sure you get it right and keep declaring it and say, Lord, you said this is what you're going to do in my life, and I would be this person, and you're making these things into strengths, and you keep declaring it, and God will rush to perform it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for calling. Or could you could relate to that?
Could sure. I?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the words, the prayer.
Okay. All right. I felt like I was cutting you off, and then I thought, well, I told them not to say a lot because then it might implicate other people, you know. So thank you. Thank you, thank you. But you can always email me in private, too, or ask for an appointment if you want a deeper ministry. Okay, Trevor?
Sure thing.
Thanks. Okay, good night. God bless you.
Yeah. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you that you were so serious about redeeming us and our pain, you know, everything, that you came in person to die on the cross. And you said, for our shame, in Isaiah 61, 6 and 7, that we'd not only be called the priests and ministers of our God and eat of the riches of the nations and, you know, have souls that are affected by our lives, but for our shame, you would give us a double portion. That's where that double portion scripture is. Isaiah 61, 6 and 7, for our shame will receive a double portion. Now, I need someone else to be brave. We have a lot of callers tonight, but I need someone else to be brave and push number one that would like prophetic prayer ministry, personal prophecy. You don't have to say what your situation is. You can just say, I want ministry, and let God choose. Boy, this must have been heavy tonight, because usually we have a whole column of people. Tonight we have zip. Would anyone else like ministry? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for one brave soul here. Thank you, Lord. Area code 903, welcome to the program.
Hey, Carlotta, it's Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I didn't get that number four on that forgiveness five ways. What was that?
Well, the five ways are on the heart. Like if you draw a cross, Terry, like a Episcopalian cross or a Celtic cross, it's got a circle in the middle.
Okay.
On the crossbar that goes horizontally, that's horizontal relationships, and you ask God to forgive you for judging other people, and then on the right side for maybe not forgiving them sooner. Then vertically, your relationship between you and God, at the top, you ask God to forgive you for being disappointed and doubting him. At the bottom, you ask God to forgive you for your own sin or your own part in it. And in the middle, you forgive yourself.
Okay.
You ask yourself to forgive you.
Okay.
And that's all, those five ways are besides forgiving the other person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can find those crosses in the Crosswalk Prayer on Crosswalk Life. We've got a search box on nowfaith.tv now. And in the year one, semester one, one of the first teachings is on the crucified life and the crosswalk prayer. And you'll see that diagram and the five ways that I've just described right there. You can even print it out.
Okay, awesome. Well, I pray everything's going good with you. I've been praying for you.
It is.
Awesome.
I can tell.
Oh, praise God. I just wanted to know if the Lord had something to say to me tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Terry, I just see those, I don't know the right word for it, but those exercises that people in boot camp have to go through, and there's certain hurdles, there's certain hoops they have to jump through, walls they have to climb, runs they have to do, jumps they have to do. It just looks like every kind of muscle is used and made strong as they're in training. In boot camp. And the Lord says, I've been taking you through that, and I've been pleased, because even when you fell, you got back up. Even when you got dirt on you, you brushed it off. And the Lord says, you're getting stronger and stronger. And that's what it takes, that nobody is promoted to officer's training school without going through boot camp. And while this example is tried and true, it's very real to you. Very real to you. It's not just a phrase. And the Lord says, it's been my delight that you volunteered. You weren't drafted, you volunteered. And that you're going to find that your whole family benefits from what you've been learning and the stand that you've taken and the willingness that you've had to be an expression of my light and love in the midst of everything. And the Lord says, yes, I will be blessing you. And but I've just been kind of increasing your dependence on me, because once you get that in place where you can really, really depend on me, then whether you have little or whether you have a lot, whether you're abased or abound, you know, however it goes, that you will be able to continue to depend on me through that situation. And while I haven't caused people to behave the way they have toward you, that I never miss a chance to turn things around for your good and to redeem it for your good. So know that I am restoring, I am redeeming, and as you submit your heart to me continually, you're not only going to be able to have the right level of sensitivity toward others, but there's an added benefit that you'll have a little bit thicker skin for yourself, and that means that I'll be able to live my life through you around even more unlikely people because you'll be able to minister to them without being hurt so much yourself. And the more you're able to be poured out for others without taking things personally, the more I'll be able to advance you. You'll be able to be my ambassador in the kingdom because you'll know you're about my agenda, my kingdom, and it's not about you. Amen?
Amen. Wow. That's a confirmation from someone else also.
Oh,
wow.
Really?
Yes. I got chills all over. This is awesome.
What did you get?
So great. Well, I internalize things a lot.
Mm.
And I've been praying for God to use me as, you know, use me through, you know, live his life through me. And I just keep begging him, please do this, please do this. And I just keep hearing him say, soon, soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, please now. I just want to be bold for him.
Oh,
I just want to do as much as I can for him. And I just keep hearing soon. But it's also a confirmation of what somebody else also told me. And I don't know how all that's going to come into place, but I'm excited to see and see what's going to happen. I'm really excited.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Carlotta.
Things take years, and I wish
yes.
they didn't.
Yes,
I know
yes.
that David ran, you know, with his band of men for years and years.
Yeah.
And one book that I wanted to recommend to everyone is The Tale of Three Kings by Jean Edwards. It's also required reading for our school, or it should be. If it's not on there, I think it is. The Tale of Three Kings talks about how David was in God's boot camp through all those years when he could not kill Saul, but God also wasn't telling the people that Saul was wrong.
Yeah.
You know? He just
yeah.
let David be on the run. And
That's
then
right.
David not only had to deal with not becoming a Saul himself, becoming like him, but he had to deal with not becoming an Absalom like his own son, who would betray the king like his son was planning insurrection against him.
Right.
So that's why
right.
it's called The Tale of Three Kings. It's very helpful because the devil's not going to miss an opportunity to try to tempt us to fail in all three ways. You know,
we all know that.
That we would touch God's anointed in the wrong way. Now, it doesn't mean that David had to pretend that Saul was right when he was homicidal. It doesn't mean that he had to, you know, violate God's laws or God's values. But he just couldn't become the judge himself.
That's right. That's right.
And it's tough when you know that God has promised to promote you and everything to not get presumptuous and say, well, I'm really the king, you're not, so take this, you know.
I totally understand. Now, who is that Tale of Three Kings? Who wrote that?
Jean Edwards.
Gene
Edwards.
Okay. Okay.
And I even journaled through that. It was suggested to me that I do, and I found it did, and I found it very helpful because it helps you identify where you're also down in God or may have rifts with God, because David would always, in the refrain of the chapters, David would be saying, God, why don't you tell somebody, you know, that Saul, what Saul's doing or what I'm going through. And I knew that was in my heart. God, tell somebody.
Yeah.
Don't let me go through this alone.
Right.
And he did. He let me go through it largely alone. And I had to learn to find my sufficiency in Christ.
That's how what I'm doing too. I mean, I'm having to do, you know, pretty much everything by myself, you know, and through, you know, just being in front of Jesus and Father God every day, and it's, you know, every moment. And you know, he's brought me down to bring me up, and it's an awesome thing. You look back and you see the stepping stones that you went through, and you know that you're not the same person that you were.
That's
and
right.
it's just, it's
God's
fantastic.
Faithful.
Yeah, he is, and he's so good. He's so good.
Well, what I tell people that makes me sound, you know, like ignorant or a moron or callous or something, is that one day in heaven that you will actually thank the people that did you wrong, because you're going to be able to look back, at least at a distance, and see it's because of how you treated me that I grew up in Christ, that I became strong, that I'm not afraid of death anymore, or I can let the stones roll off. You know, Paul let the stones roll off, got back up, ministered to them again the next day.
Right.
Amazing.
Right. It
absolutely
is.
Amazing. Hallelujah. Well, times are going to get rougher, folks. I hate to say that, but I think we all kind of know it. And we might as well learn to trust God, at least where we are right now.
Amen.
It's not going to necessarily be easier, except that as we allow God to form, you know, what he wants formed in our lives, to mold us and make us, to expand our hearts so that we can even love our enemies, then we'll be truly victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. You have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Okay, I need another brave soul to push number one. Another brave soul. You don't have to reveal anything, but unless we're going to put, okay, here's somebody. Thank you, Jesus. You're drawing them in. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Jan from Florida.
I can always count on Jan. Thank you.
Well, I try to wait till the last minute and give everybody a chance, but hey.
Yeah, tonight's kind of sobering, and people are they're listening, they're calling in, but they're like, I don't know about receiving ministry. You know, I'm not necessarily going to prophesy to you about the subject we talked about tonight.
That's what I thought. Let God pick it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I didn't hear the whole thing, but I'm going to go back over it. So,
Well,
whatever.
I suggest that people do, because most of us would rather learn the easy way. If you listen to tough teachings like this, you might be able to learn something the easy way and not have to go through it yourself. Oh, me.
Amen. There's like a sound thing going on right now. Okay, it's better.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, it's better
okay.
now. Thank
it's
you.
It's good on my end, so I can't tell what you're dealing with.
Some
okay.
kind of interference.
Any certain prayer requests?
Well, honestly, I have a few, but I can't pick one, so I'll just let the Lord.
He knows.
Yes, he knows.
He knows. The Lord says, Jan, I'm holding my scepter out to you. My scepter out to you. But the enemy, of course, is also holding things. Just as Esther was in the king's favor from the beginning, and she learned how to retain the king's favor, and she learned how to entreat the king, and she learned how to deliver incredibly critical and controversial information to him that his own man, you know, was planning to destroy part of his people there. She learned how to do that. And Jan, the Lord says, I've let you go through a lot, but you're learning to hear me better and depend on me better. And you've learned to value being in my presence more, to carry my presence to other people. And the Lord says, I've been raising you up and training you to be able to have more of a leadership role. And just as Esther was able to discern how to deal with other leaders and how to convey information so that my kingdom end was achieved, the Lord says, I am training you up to know how to deal with controversial situations, to learn how to discern the plans of the enemy, the strategies of the enemy, what to do with the information, how to intercede, how to take it before the king, as in take it before me, but also to take it before other leaders. And the Lord says, you're going to know that you know that you know that you're a sent one, that you're going to know what the Father is saying and what you're to say, and you're going to know that you know. your place as my ambassador and have the confidence that even though you may feel like an Esther that's putting your life at risk, you'll know how far to go, what to say, and how to do it, and that people will be saved. Hallelujah. I think Jan's call was dropped. Are you there, Jan? Oh, I'm so sorry, but she can catch it on the download. If anyone calls in or clicks on the link, not calls in, but clicks on the link within 30 minutes after the program, you can catch us on the download. But we still have 20 minutes or so to minister to someone. Is there anyone else that would like prayer or ministry tonight or has a question about the teaching? I know it's a very tough subject. Very tough. Please push number one if you'd like prayer or prophetic ministry. I need to impart some courage. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do your perfect work, that Jehovah Rapha is the healer, that you've been working in all of our hearts. It's a lot to digest, to know that you're working not only on our side, the people that were hurt, but also on the side of the perpetrators, too. Okay, area code 210, welcome to the program.
Hi, Colorado, this is Susan in Texas.
What's your name?
Susan.
Susan. And how are you tonight?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Any specific prayer request or question?
Well, I would just like prayer ministry.
Okay. Prophetic ministry?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Susan, I just see the Lord Jesus with a bouquet of flowers in his hand. The Lord says, the first thing I want to do tonight, Susan, is speak your value to you. How much I value you. I think I've done a good work in your life, and I've designed you, every aspect of you, your parents, your personality, even a lot of things that you've experienced, your preferences, everything, to be perfectly compatible with my purposes for you. I have your best interest at heart, and I have made you worthy. I want you to be able to understand that so clearly, that I've made you worthy, that you're a valuable contributing member of my family, that I want you to be able to impart that to others. So I want to give you special downloads and insights and revelations about your worth and how much I value each individual person. And whereas the devil would bring people along that don't see it that way and want to destroy your identity and to damage your self-esteem and to make you think that you have to do something to earn my love and acceptance or my love, the Lord says, I'm just waving my banner, which is love, over you tonight. Just waving it over you, saying, I know what's true and what's not true. And I know what's in your heart. And I have not judged you by outward appearances, but I discern thoughts and intents of your heart, and I'm putting my desires in your heart. And the Lord says, I have looked forward to a time when I can tutor you more. I'm looking forward to a time when you will sit in my lap more and I can just impart to you my perfect love that will cast out your fears, it will cast out your doubts and the lies that the enemy has told you. There's even parts of you that aren't sure of what I'm saying right now, the Lord says, but I'm just wooing them and winning them over. Just wooing them and winning them over. And the part of you that knows that what I say is true, the Lord says, can reach even into the areas of your heart where there's doubt and fear and unbelief and minister. And my spirit is just brooding over you, my precious one. Just brooding over you. to give you such an impartation of your value and worth that you'll be able to overflow it and never run out. And you'll have that compassion and mercy and grace for people that are hurting and feel discarded and thrown aside. And you'll be able to just overflow my heart onto them and communicate how much I value them and how I died to make them worthy. How much I want an intimate relationship with them. How much I want alone time with them each day. And how much it's not that I just want to use them or something. I just want to abide in them and them in me. So as you spend more time with me, it'll be my privilege, my honor to lavish that on you. And you will know that there's no limit to my love for you, no limit to my grace. And you won't want to abuse it. You'll want to pass it on, okay? Are you there?
Yeah.
Can you relate to any of that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay. With that, thank you very much for praying.
You're welcome. If you'll notice the time, you can go back and use the pause and play button and get right to about 10:25 or whatever it was and write it out, okay?
Okay. All right.
You may
thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you. Sometimes you think you already know what's in a word, but if God gives you a word on that subject, that means he's got way more. He may want to make that like a specialty, like a gifting, a ministry of yours or whatever, but he's got way more for you if he promises you all those things. It won't be the same old, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. There's always more in Jesus, always more. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Well, I am personally doing good. It was warfare today. Get this computer to access Blog Talk Radio, but I'm doing good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing great. God bless you.
Really?
Yes.
Had any victories lately?
I tell you, last Crosswalk Talk, you had prayed and prophesied concerning my church, and the Lord is already breaking through, basically, and igniting even my pastor's heart that God wants to break through and bring healing to God's people. And I was supposed to speak on Sunday, but the Holy Spirit basically gave my pastor the same thing that I wanted to say, and he was on fire, so so he ministered on Sunday.
So he gave it, huh?
Yeah, he gave it, and basically I had felt that we were supposed to just really pray for the people, and that's exactly what we did. My pastor asked, my husband and I, and he and another gentleman, we went and prayed for all those that were in attendance on last Sunday. So, and I was like, Lord, am I hearing you right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. So,
don't you love it when God gives you the message ahead of time and he's just training you to what? Believe that you hear?
Yeah, exactly.
You can tune into what the Holy Spirit is doing?
Yes. Amen.
God was just telling
me
today, this is kind of trite, but like there's three kinds of people, those that can partner with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing, those that can at least discern what the Holy Spirit's doing, and those that never even noticed the Holy Spirit was doing anything.
Yeah. But I tell you, it was just awesome. It was just amazing, and it just helped me to be assured that I was hearing from the Lord, and that he basically did, exactly what he showed me that he wanted to do, and spoke exactly what was his heart for his
You can hear him.
Yes.
And the Lord says, you're not only my voice, Valerie, but tonight I'm giving you a pair of silver scissors.
Uh-huh.
And these scissors will be able to cut things that aren't me off of people and out of situations and all like you've never seen before.
Wow.
It's a very special gift I'm giving you and trusting you that you'll not only hear my voice, you'll not only be able to partner with what I'm saying and what I'm doing, but I'm giving you the ability to cut the ties and the ways that the enemy would tie people down and hold them back, and ungodly soul ties that would prevent their destiny from being fulfilled and tie them to ungodly covenants and statements and word curses and alliances and everything they've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you a new ability to cut the plans of the enemy off of folks and set them free.
Amen.
And you know my heart is to set the captives free, and this is a unique way that I want to minister through you. You'll know, get out the scissors, we're going to cut this tonight.
Yeah.
And the cords that the enemy has wrapped around someone will be cut off.
Amen.
They'll be free. He'll have to start over. And they will be able to recognize their ungodly soul ties or the word curses they've spoken over themselves or whatever it is. And they'll be able to agree with you and to cut it and break the power of it and have real freedom right then and there. And then their faith level will come up that as they help people discern the cords that are holding them and binding them, that those things that bind them can be cut, lacerated, separated off. And that's actually what loosing means in that particular chapter, that they will be able to cut that off of them, and then they can be bound to the good things, the
mm-hmm.
fruit, the character, you know,
yeah.
the giftings in Christ, bound to the good things, and no more bound by the cords of Satan around their lives.
Amen. That is awesome.
Okay, you got that word picture. You'll never forget that, you and the silver scissors.
No, I won't, because you had posted about a string, and I'm just trying to figure out, Lord, what is the string? These
oh,
are ties. Wow. Ungodly soul ties, ungodly
okay.
things that are attached.
I believe we're going to get more and more revelation about the strings in people's lives, whether it's in their ears or their eyes or heart or wherever it is. But God is certainly about taking away all of the ungodly strings.
Amen.
Amen.
That is awful.
Go, girl.
God bless you. Thank you
God
so
bless
much,
you.
Kalana.
God bless you. Okay. Wow. We need to know that this is true. You know, a prophetic word builds you up, gives you maybe an exhortation, gives you consolation. And I don't often in just a couple minutes on the air mix ministry in with it, you know, where I'm breaking something off of you. Maybe I'll mention it, but not seriously get into ministry, because the prophetic word and ministry are like two different things. But there's certainly impartation. The Bible speaks of in more than one place where Paul says, you know, stir up the gifts that have been given you by the laying on of hands, or in another place, be good stewards of the gift that were given you by a word of prophecy. And I believe there was an impartation that really happened right then, that were areas where Valerie might wonder if it was her place to cut something off of people, that she's going to be more certain now that she can say, God, is this a time to use the silver scissors and cut it off? Is this my place? Is it your timing? And get that assurance. Hallelujah. Okay, I've got time for at least one more caller. If you'd like to push number one, I'd love to pray or give a personal word of prophecy to someone else. Push that number one. I have never had to ask people like this before. That must have been sobering tonight. Whew. Okay. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your healing power, Lord. We thank you for your word that you're not any respecter of persons, and that healing word tonight was for everyone. that we may have had feelings that this should be straightened out, or wondered if we should meet with people to straighten it out, or wonder if we should let it go or what, and that you were able to rightly divide the word to each person that hears this tonight and in the future. Okay, area code 724, welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Mary. I think I had an opportunity to meet you before, Creative Works, et cetera. I'm just calling in for a word. Had some battles here.
Okay. You think we met where?
Well, I think, well, I know
oh,
we met.
Oh, at Greater Works.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear you at first. Thank you for repeating that. Thank you. Now, I'm not sure which Mary this is, but God knows. Thank you, Lord.
Something
you, Lord.
Had to do with essential oils, too, at one time.
Okay. Father, I thank you, thank you, thank you for your word and your will and your way that's being accomplished in Mary's life. I thank you. I just see all these chairs, Mary, like in an orchestra, and you know how you can, if you practice and you're faithful and you're at the concerts and you're, you know, you take your lessons and everything else, that you can move forward in chairs, and then there's like the first chair. And the Lord says, only you can limit yourself. Don't think that other people can limit you by their choices. Don't think that I'm limiting you. But I'm willing for you to grow and mature and to move forward as fast as you're able to handle it. And the Lord says that I'm bringing you opportunities to step out in new ways, in greater works, and in greater faith. And the Lord says, I haven't called you to be one that just points out the problem, although you could hear my voice. I haven't called you to be one that just copies what other people have done. But I, the Creator, want to minister to people very creatively to you. And tonight I'm beginning to impart the courage to you to let me do old things in new ways. And the Lord says it'll be such a blessing to those people because they will know that you didn't just, you know, blow on them or push them down or do something that other people have done. They will know that this was tailor-made for me. This is from my Father to me, and this is God working in my life, and that this is truly the will and the way and the word of the Lord over me. And the Lord says, if you're willing to step out and receiving words of knowledge that are very specific, I'm giving you the courage tonight to do it. And I want to give you very specific words of knowledge. And at first, you might just ask them a question instead of telling them, saith the Lord, but that's all right. I'm going to be giving you things that will be the keys to open their hearts. And it'll be because they'll know. I didn't tell her that. Probably nobody else told her that. God is giving me an assurance that this is from him, and he gave her the key, and I'm willing to open my heart to ministry because I know this is a word of knowledge from the Lord. The Lord says, it's just going to take courage, but you're going to find that I'm willing to give you the specifics, just like Jesus said, I saw you under the tree. I'm willing to give you a specific, and your flesh might say, oh, no, don't say that. What if you're wrong? And your flesh might want to argue with me, but no, remember this promise that if you will step out in faith and give that word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, before you have any natural knowledge, then they will be more assured that it's me. And the Lord says, don't depend on your natural experience and natural ways of doing things. I'm calling you to supernatural. Supernatural.
Amen.
Supernatural.
Amen.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Can you relate to that?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, good night.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. I think he's doing that with a lot of us, that he's just exercising us in faith so that we get to the place where we know that we know that we've heard his voice, and we know that we have been given not just a pat answer, not just the same old, but that we are getting a unique way of ministering His light and His love and His power, demonstrating His power, demonstrating revelation gifts or His knowledge, His unique, intimate knowledge of each person to them, so they will open their hearts to hear once they know that they know that this is unique for them. Hallelujah. Whew. I know the effect it had on me when I was first out of the wilderness for 20 years, and I'd go and I'd hear prophetic ministry. And they didn't have to say a lot. It might have even sounded general to other people. I really didn't want them to give a lot of specifics in public. But they would say just enough that I knew it was God through them. I knew. I knew it was just enough, just right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, have time to take another caller if you'll push number one. Love to minister to someone else here. I never tire of hearing the voice of the Lord. Do you? It doesn't have to be for me. I just love to hear God talk, period. Thank you. Anyone else would like to receive ministry tonight? Well, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your healing balm. We thank you that while you did give us free will, and sometimes people use it to hurt us, that your redemption is always more than enough. Your healing power is always more than enough, that you will never be indebted to us. You will make it work out for our good, that you will bless us far more than the devil could ever hurt us, that what he's stolen from us will be paid back many times over, that the blessings that we lost because we may have fallen for his trap and taken offense or become judgmental or had sinful reactions, that as we repent, you'll restore the blessings that we've lost, the rewards that we could have had if we had known to or had, you know, chosen to respond rightly. Those rewards are still blessings, still available. And I thank you, Lord, that your desire is not to punish us in any way. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Even when you confront us, it's just so that we can see where we've fallen for a lie so that we can embrace your truth. And I just pray for healing for anyone tonight that's been raised up under legalistic or punitive, punishing leadership that perceives God that way. I just want to reach into your heart tonight, or maybe I can use Valerie's silver scissors, and just cut off the lies and the strings around your heart that would constrict and cause you to think that I'm a restrictive God, Lord says, that I want to hold you back, that I'll never let you back on plan A, so to speak, that I'll always hold something against you, or that I never quite really forgive and forget. Lord wants you to know that I'm saying, son and daughter, I am far more than that. I not only don't hold anything against you, I'm hard at work to redeem every experience that you've had, to take the shame or the guilt or the pain out of it. As much as you'll give to me, I'll take. It's not hard for me. It's not a burden on me. I want you to give me the pain and the shame and the guilt, the embarrassment. And I want to cut off tonight the lie that you have lost anything permanently, that you'll never be able to have the favor that you used to have, or the to be of a pure heart or reputation, or that you'll never be able to be as comfortable around people as you used to be, or to have the relationships that you could thought you could have when you were innocent. The Lord says, I will make it all better than that, all better than that. And as you allow me to live through you, allow me to live through you, that you'll not only be able to love yourself, you'll be able to let me love you, you'll be able to let others love you. All that self-doubt and condemnation and self-deprecation will go away. All that questioning God and all that disappointment, disillusionment will go away. And your weak faith will turn into great faith. Your self-questioning will turn into a confidence that Christ is in me, and he and I make a majority, and I can let Christ live through me, and I'll be able. to be all that he wants to be through me. And that inability to love yourself will go, and you'll be able to not only love others as you love yourself, you'll be able to love yourself rightly, because you'll appreciate that he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And you can abide in me, and I can abide in you, and there's nothing I'd rather do than have alone time with you. And you're just going to know, that you're a partaker of a new nature, that you're an expression of me, and I really want you to be a demonstration of my power. And it's my pleasure to even bring other people around you that will be honored to invest in you, that will have your best interest at heart, that will be the kind of leaders that aren't focused on using and abusing you to build their empire, but they'll be focused and tuned in to what my vision and mission for you is, what restoration and healing you need, and you're going to have a new ability to trust not only people, but trust me, and to know that I am in control. I am in control. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else that would like prayer, prophetic ministry? Last call. Push that number one. Okay. Well, thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that you're always, always, always faithful. I thank you, Lord, you always have our best interest in heart and can only act in love toward us. And that whether we feel like we're running from a Saul like David, whether we were the Absalom that turned against the king in insurrection, whether we feel like we're mostly guilty or mostly innocent, you have our best interest at heart. You died for us. You're redeeming everything and restoring us, renewing our minds, healing our bodies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please join us next time for more Crosswalk Talk. And be blessed in everything God asks you to do.
want you. I just want to live in your presence every day.